Going to start the recording. It's recording now.
Yeah, it's now recording. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, the people who are deliberately perhaps disturbing, that we call it Zoom bombing. That is a problem. We have to, I think, we might have a feature to throw them out, exit. Meet has a single button that you can remove them. Mm-hmm. So in the room, do we have that feature that we can remove the people who are disturbing?
Yes.
Unnecessary.
We can either remove them or we can put them back in the waiting room. And,
okay.
And I think removing is best if you can manage that. Yeah. So once they're removed, they can't get back in.
Yeah. I have not experienced such kind of deliberate disturbance so far. Mm-hmm. So I don't know whether how that happens. I have seen people trying their best. But they make a mistake or error because they don't know how things work. And that's why the sound is on and there is some noise going on in the homes. And
yeah.
That sound is coming.
That's very innocent. That's not Zoom bombing. Zoom bombing is people who are very nasty. They're trolls, basically.
Okay.
And they put on very embarrassing stuff. And if it happens during a meeting, actually, when it happened with Nick Peachy, we hadn't started the recording, which is unfortunate in a way, because if we had, we would have had a recording of it, which I think would have been very interesting to play back and learn from that.
Actually, I can provide you with Zoom bombing recordings if you like.
Yeah, good to see you.
What we did is I still have the original recordings of the event on Zoom.
Okay.
And we also have a cut and edited version on YouTube for our publications. But on these, obviously the Zoom bombing incident had been removed. But I can still provide you with these small instances of Zoom bombing, just for the sake of learning, Vance. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Okay, let's see. Somebody is unmuted. We can just mute that person. That's Alpa. So Alpa?
I muted her, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, well, you're very well versed in this.
You are, Dilip.
I met Dilip in Vellore. I'm not sure if it was at Foodies. You remember Foodies?
Vellore, VIT Institute.
Yes, that's right. Well, I remember Vellore quite well and the Institute, but I also remember Foodies. That's what they used to call the place where you go and get your meals. And they had the best vegetarian meals. Just dish it on your plate. It was really good. So, let me introduce us. This is May 20th, 2020. I'm Vance Stevens in Malaysia, Penang, Malaysia. And Heike Philp is here also to help us with Zoom security, I suppose. And she's from Germany. And then Dilip Barad, as we were just saying, somebody I met in India. I can't remember exactly when, about 5 years ago? 7 years ago?
2009 or 11, I think it was.
Ah, okay.
Very big, I think, 7-8 years back, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, he made an impression. And then he's starting to put on Facebook. Maybe I could do a share really quick and I could show you. I had it up just a second ago. So here we go. Here's Dilip. This is what he's doing now. And I don't know, Dilip, what are you doing here in this picture?
This was that workshop photograph which I was conducting, about which I'm going to talk today. So that is this is my home.
Yes. Okay.
I'm right now also sitting and working. So.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway,
conducting a workshop. Yeah. This photograph is about that.
Yeah, I'll put a link to this in the text chat. Let me just do that. And so anybody who wants to go and see that that link can pursue it there. That's a temporary link after today or tomorrow because it's 10 o'clock at night here. So tomorrow I'll put it in the learningtogether.net blog. But anyway, the link will still be there until Heike presents on the 22nd, and then we'll replace this with hers. So so let me stop the share here. And so in a moment I'll turn it over to Dilip. And yes. Okay. So anyway, Dilip, I'm really interested in talking to you because of your experience, and also you've been inviting people to your Facebook. I think you call it. Are they watch parties? Is that
yeah, watch parties? Yeah, we had conducted a webinar, a national level webinar, for 2 days.
I'm really.
We had a live streaming on Facebook and YouTube. Which was on Meet. The webinar was on Google Meet, and we live streamed, and then there were watch parties that I conducted on there.
Yes, and I was really intrigued, not only just to sit in and listen on your students' presentations, but you every now and then you would shift to, you would scroll your screen, and I could see, I don't know how many participants there, how many participants did you have in those meetings?
In that Google Meet, that was a webinar?
Yeah.
In webinar, there is a capacity of 250. We have this G Suite educational account, so maximum 250 can join. And in our plenary sessions, it was full. Was very difficult to get the plenary speakers inside. And we have to request somebody to exit so that the plenary speakers can come. So it was huge. And we have some 15,000 viewers on Facebook and YouTube.
Yeah, so this is very impressive. It's very impressive that you're conducting a class, and I can see you scrolling through the list of participants, and I'm just, blown away by the, there's quite a lot to handle. So I'm really interested to hear about how you do it, because you're obviously doing it very well. So Dilip, why don't I hand it over to you and let you tell us what you're up to?
Please. I'm admitting a few other waiting outside.
Sure. Yeah. Balaji is coming. Welcome, everybody. Yeah. Take your time. Actually, we're not due to start for another minute. No problem. We're very relaxed here. Okay. Let's see. I'm not sure what Heike is trying to tell us. Heike, is there, you want a message to everybody? Click on participants so you can see the list of participants, okay?
Yeah, we have a couple of participants in here that are not, they appear with a Galaxy On 7, for example. Could ask you to rename yourself, also perhaps if you show an email address as your login name, also there's a possibility to rename yourself and to tell afterwards Zoom to remember that name.
Yeah. That's true. There is one waiting outside, Galaxy J6 also. So this is a request to Galaxy On 7. It is better you rename yourself, otherwise we'll have to put you outside the room.
We don't really throw people out, but it's just for them also, for future
Galaxy
appearances.
Galaxy J6 also is there. So
exactly. And I'm happy, Dilip, I'm quite happy to allow people into the waiting rooms. If you want to start with your presentation, we will take care of this. Okay, fine, then
that's good. So then I will start and you can take care of the waiting room there.
Okay,
7:30 was the time, so many of the people might just be chirping inside now. It's exactly now 7:30 here.
Okay, and you're on the half hour system, so it's 10 o'clock here, and I think for Heike, probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe.
Okay, so let me start then my presentation, and people will keep on coming. Okay?
Sorry, what time, Heike?
It's 4 p.m. In Central Europe.
Okay. Oh, yes, of course. I was confused with the noon start times. Yes. we start at noon. 1300 or 1400, and this one is a 1400 start. So, 1400 UTC, 7:30 in India. All right.
7:30 in India, may I start then?
Sure, please do.
I'm also still getting the notification about people waiting, so I think Heike is going to take care of.
Yes. You can ignore those if Heike doesn't do it. It seems okay to let people in, so we don't seem to have any problem here.
Yeah, okay. So this was I conducted an online remote hands-on workshop last fortnight. And this is a kind of an experience sharing for that. This was a very unique and first kind of an experience for me also, because we have conducted many physical workshops where we are present with the participants in a lab environment and we conduct. But then remotely talking is one thing, and doing workshop, and that also hands-on workshop, is something very unique and something very different also there. And this was the first tryout. It worked very well. We were able to achieve, we were able to do what we expected to do. And so I thought that this experience should be shared with the people there. So this is the GIF images of the participants working in their environment. This is my environment in my home where I was working. And this is how we did. The participants shared some of the photographs of how they were working in that environment here. This is the distance. I am that Ahmedabad, Surat, there is Bhavnagar city in between, and I am located at this top of the marker, and at the below down, there is Chennai near Bengaluru. That is where the participants were located. So it was almost 2000 kilometers away from where I was, and this was conducted in the city of Chennai. Also, all the participants were in their homes. We know it is a lockdown COVID-19 time. And so it was again some 30 to 35 kilometers in a city where all the participants were spread across. They're remotely located. Even in a city of Chennai, the participants were also located there. In this presentation, I will say what were our objectives, a brief literature review, a methodology, learning outcome, experience of the resource person. And I have also invited some of the participants who were there in that workshop from Chennai to speak, to say something about their feedback also. And I invited one of my friends, Professor Mahesh Jiwani. He has not joined. If he is able to join, he also will share, because he also is conducting these kinds of remote workshops there. So objectives of our EFDP, Faculty Development Program, was to train undergraduates and postgrads teachers. So it is a lot of people dealing with higher education. These teachers all are dealing with higher education, college and post-graduation students, to use digital platform for online remote teaching. So that was the purpose, that these teachers can teach, do remote teaching with the help of digital platforms. It was also to orient them as learner and train as teachers, because most of the teachers were not having an experience to be online learner. So one of the objectives also was to see that they are oriented, that what is it to be an online learner. So that experience they can utilize, that what kind of problems their learners, their students may also face when they deal with digital platforms. To make them ready to take online remote classes as early as possible, because we are in a mode of emergency. So we have a very interesting word also, ERT, emergency remote teaching. The Zooming teachers, this word, it is rather not only online, but it is emergency remote teaching. So we have to keep them ready for that purpose also, that at the end of the 2 days workshop, they are ready for emergency remote teaching in their environment. Narrow down to single digital platform was a necessary thing for us, rather than talking about innumerable platforms. The teachers are confused with that. So now if you want to make teachers ready to use a digital platform and become a teacher immediately after the workshop, we have to talk about only one digital platform and only single way of doing working on that platform. So we worked on one particular platform, that is Google Classroom and Google Meet. The combination of both the things can help us in solving out our problem. I have seen that in many of the workshops, the facilitators talk a lot about innumerable platforms, innumerable tools, web tools, and at the end of the day, teachers are so baffled, participants are so baffled, that they don't know what to do in their real classroom. Not only that, even if teachers keep on trying innumerable platforms and web tools, then again also their students will be baffled. We have seen that all the students do not have a high-end kind of smartphone. They may be using a mid-range, low-range kind of a smartphone. And if you want to make it heavy with lots of apps, then the mobile phone is not going to work also for them. So we have to go for the apps which are very easy to be installed and they are not heavy on their smartphones, and teachers don't keep on changing their platform. That also was necessary. So these were our objectives when we were working on this. The literature review that we have done, the two interesting literature review we have done, one was written way back in 2006-07, and this was an Asia-wide real-time distributed hands-on workshop. And then second one was of 2016. In both these workshops, this literature review, we have seen that in 2006-07, Mikawa, Basu, Okawa, Murai, in their paper, they were talking about establishing a language lab, a computer lab at one place, and then establishing or replicating the similar kind of labs in remote places, and then training the teachers from one lab to another lab. Now, today, that is not possible. Today, we have a better infrastructure. Today, we have digital platforms, online, high-speed internet connectivity, 4G, 5G, in such a way that we do not have to establish labs in various parts of the places. Without doing that, we are able to do now. This is our advantage that we are there now. Just in 13, 14 years of this research, we have moved in such a way that we don't have to take care of establishing labs in remote places before doing online remote workshop. The second one by Laila, remote workshops collaboration done virtually. This was very interesting one, and a couple of very interesting ideas were there, which we were not able to do because we require high end of technology users. But I will refer to one or two examples from that. But there are interesting ideas to be taken from that particular blog, that is remote workshops collaboration done virtually. So based on these two, one is a 13, 14 years old idea establishing the thing. Another one is using wonderful apps to work out in a collaborative way. Our methodology, like our model, was exactly a replica of face-to-face model. So because this Laila's article is talking about a new model altogether. So we were just replicating what we were doing in face-to-face model of that. The same thing now we are doing in a remote way also. What we did, which was very unique, was we used two devices. All participants were informed that you have to work on two devices, if possible, one mobile phone and one laptop. And it was very good that all the participants, 100%, they were able to have a laptop and a mobile phone. Why we wanted to do this? Because on mobile phone, they will connect with the resource person over Google Meet. They will see the teacher speaking and teacher sharing the screen, and then they will do it. The demonstration will be on the mobile phone, and the workout, hands-on work, will be done on a laptop, a separate laptop on which they were working. We thought that let us have one laptop and let us split the screen. In half screen, there is a Zoom or a Meet going on. In the other half screen, they can keep on working. That also is a better alternative, one device. But we know that when we split the screen, we can't see all the features of the laptop. And time and again, you have to enlarge your screen to work. And then again, you have to minimize. Those teachers who are not very good, and in this group, all teachers were not very good in technology. So I thought that it will be very risky to work. And maybe if they will shut down the window, then again to log in other things, it might be a problem. So I thought that let them work with one enlarged laptop screen and let there be another mobile device to work with. Another important thing which was necessary here was that Google Classroom or Google Meet, they have a separate interface for laptop as well as mobile phone. So teachers should be well-versed with mobile device as well as laptop. They have to plan their lessons on laptop because there are additional features given on the laptop interface. But they should know how mobile is working, because their learners, that is students, are almost 90% of the students are going to work on their mobile devices. So if teachers are trained only for laptop and not for mobile, or only for mobile and not for laptop, it will be a limited training. All teachers should be exposed to both the interfaces. So we worked on this multiple devices, one laptop and one mobile phone there. So that was our objective to work out in this particular work. The face-to-face workshop model, the better alternative, as I said, was this. So this they used Mural. Mural is a digital workspace for visual collaboration. And this is a very interesting idea, because when we are remotely located, we exactly don't know what is happening with the learners. they sometimes are able to share their screen. Many times they are not able to share their screen. We had a group of 25 learners, and if we keep on watching everybody's screens being shared with the resource person, it is time consuming also. Instead of that, if you use Mural, a digital workspace for visual collaboration, it is very interesting. We are not able to do this, but it's a very interesting idea. Another option is that we can also have a shared Google Doc or a sheet on which also, if not visually, graphically, very good, but in a digit form also we can work out on this, but that is necessary part. We did not work on this. This should be added into our methodology. There were 25 participants. There were 3 dropouts on second day. 20 were able to complete all the tasks. And so that was a very good success rate in this group there. Our learning outcomes, like, for example, we worked on all these things. E-group, we started with, and 100% participants were able to create e-group. Web conferencing on online teaching, Google Meet, well, quite successfully, they were able to work on that. Digital teaching platform, there is Google Classroom. So all other activities we have done on Google Classroom. And we faced a problem with things like creating online quiz at one place and then taking online test and submitting written assignment. This was a little bit problematic, and 2 or 3 participants, they were not able to do this. By and large, all other participants were able to do that. Otherwise, assigning activities in Google Classroom, sharing video resources, sharing resources from Drive, that was done by everybody. That they were able. But online quiz, how to create, was a bit problematic. We need more time than what I expected. Taking online test also requires more time because sharing the link and other thing requires something. And submitting written assignment was rather more confusing for the thing. The same thing is going to happen with learners also. So that was an interesting part of the learning on the part of participants also. When we look at, let me minimize this window. Okay. When we look at this learning experiences of a resource person. So what I have learned or what I have experienced in this was that for teachers, digital is the part of skill set, an additional skill, but almost absolute one in recent times, like lockdown time, COVID-19 crisis, online teaching. This has become ultimately an absolute skill for all the teachers there. The only sure way to teach skills is to make people do it. Without doing, skills can never be mastered. The more we practice, the more we master the skill. So just talking about the skills never works. We have to obviously do hands-on workshops for that. Hands-on practice, even in real life situation, is exhausting because in a lab environment, if there are 25 participants sitting in a lab, the resource person has to rush from one corner to another corner. And within 3 hours, the resource person is completely exhausted in a real life situation also. Imagine the situation on online is much tough. If you are sitting at one place, then also it is very tough to guide everybody there. Because learners are of mixed ability. All learners do not have digital skills at one level. Their digital skills are of mixed ability. And some are techno-friendly and some are technophobic. And in each and every group, you will find at least 3 to 5 technophobic learners. And obviously they are going to eat away lots of our time, and also that becomes a boredom or a longer wait for those people who are very fast learners also. So techno-friendly and technophobic within this group, the resource person remotely has to conduct their workshops. In this remote teaching or say remote workshop, all the learners are in their homes learning as an isolated learner. Now, in a workshop environment, even there are models of workshops where the resource person is remotely located, but participants are at one place. Now, here, even participants were isolated learners. They were all individually located in their homes. They were not able to help each other. We have seen in our workshop that some of the learners were helping each other, and that was a very good way of learning also. Peer learning was happening there, and that was very interesting. But still, when we have a physical workshop and when we are doing that in a physical environment, we always find that there are 4 or 5 fast learners, good learners, and they start helping resource person. They start guiding the peer learners, and that makes the physical workshops are very easy going, and the fast learner starts helping the other people. Whereas here it was rather tough for everybody to control the entire group. As it is tough beyond imagination to keep the entire class move on shoulder to shoulder all together, lots of improvisations become necessary for the resource person also, and they have to wait with tremendous amount of patience. The resource person requires tremendous amount of patience in working with those things. We also suggested as a kind of an improvisation that keep your family members who are good in technology around you. Like your children may be good in technology, your spouse may be good in the use of technology. So let them be in and around you so that they can guide you, help you in working out with some of those things. At some places that also worked very well. What worked in this remotely handled hands-on workshop for faculty development? Well, first thing was that our idea of two devices worked very well. Had we not worked on two devices, it might have been a failure altogether to get any kind of success. So this idea, it came from nowhere, because I have not read anywhere any research project or anything where people are talking that do remote workshops with two devices. Suddenly I got an idea. I talked with the coordinator that is it possible to have this two things? They said that, well, it will be possible. The spouse may have one of the laptops or devices, and then the person will also have a smartphone. Without this, our workshop would have been utterly a failure. Participants will have a mobile phone as well as laptop or PC. That was what we said. Needless to say, high-speed internet and basic IT ICT skills were also necessary. Now, Chennai is one of the metropolitan cities in India. It is a metropolitan urban space. And in urban spaces, we do have high-speed internet connection. Had this learners or teachers been located in remote areas or in rural areas, I don't know whether we might have got the same success rate or not. Maybe not, I would say, because in remote villages, still the net connectivity is not so fast. And so quite a number of learners and teachers are struggling to cope up with this. So Chennai is a metropolitan city, is an urban space. It obviously had a high-speed internet connectivity. The place where I am located also, if it is not metropolitan, still an urban space. And we also do have a rather good internet connectivity in and around. And that also helped us a lot. This model may not work if learners are located in rural areas of India. Google Meet, as we were to work, and on Google Classroom, we worked on this. We use Google Meet in this because we wanted only one login ID and password. I know that many of the learners might not be able to remember innumerable login IDs and passwords. So working with Gmail, obviously people have. We also wanted to work with Google Drive. We also wanted to work with Blog, Google Group. So Google Classroom and Google Meet was a very good match going together. I know Zoom is a far better alternative. Zoom is very user-friendly. Another thing, it can also be used. But still, we decided to work on Google Meet. The only idea was that it has email ID and password collaboration with Google Classroom and all other Google apps which we are supposed to work on this during the workshop. It is less tiring to move around in the lab or class and conduct workshop. It is extremely exhausting to remotely conduct a workshop. Sitting in one place, one position, constantly peeping in tiny camera and speaking with nobody, absolutely. No faces to see, no eye contact with learners to get a nod. No body gestures to reply our non-question questions. Is very exhausting. What is tiring is this, that there is absolutely no faces. We work in a faceless environment and we just have to get self-motivated that learners might be learning there. And absolute no response from body language also, because they also are held up against their mobile phone or a laptop there. And right now, like I'm speaking with nobody, because right now I can't see anybody because my screen is only visible here. Well, so lots of patience is required in all these things, and quite a new way teachers are supposed to manage themselves. That if I am dependent upon the eye contact of learners, if I am dependent on enthusiasm of learner, if I'm dependent on the body language of learner, perhaps in online, remote teaching, it is not going to work. We have to now learn new skills. We have to develop new perspectives of learning that without eye contact, without body gestures, without any response from anybody, how we keep on motivating ourselves and keep on delivering the content becomes very, very important part in online remote teaching. This is the environment in which we are working, as we have seen some of the GIF images also earlier. Two devices, how they were looking at one devices, Google Meet, and they were working on laptop kind of a thing. A very interesting improvisation is done by one of the participants, where there is a water bottle and you keep the mobile phone standing over there, so you may be hands-free working on various things. What I was not able to do, a rubric in Google Classroom for written assignments or oral presentation, we were not able to work out, because creating a rubric in Google Classroom requires still high end of a skill for learners. Learners should be well aware about what is rubric and how rubric works, how rubrics can be prepared. So we require one hour orientation or training into what is rubric and how it can be worked out, and then we can mold it into Google Classroom. So maybe because of a few slow learners in the group, we were not able to manage rubric in our assignment. Import grades from online quiz test in Google Classroom, we're not able to do. Originality check, we're not able to do, because these are G Suite features of Google Classroom, and most of the participants were having personal login ID. They were not having their institutional login IDs to access Google Classroom. We suggested their institute to have a G Suite for education from Google, so more features of Google Classroom can be utilized in this. Google Meet and Google Classroom has the connection now, but again, only for G Suite accounts only, not for everybody. So that also we are not able to do. All the features of Google Meet we are not able to explore. There are not many features in Google Meet, but still, because of time constraint, we are not able to include various features of Google Meet into our things, because I misjudged that 6 hours, two days we work, 3 hours a day, which was very lengthy. Our initial plan was to work for 2 hours, but it went on for 3 hours, and it was very tiresome for me also, and also for learners, because in some of the feedback, learners have told that 3 hours is a very long duration, like 60 to 90 minutes is fine enough, but this is quite a long time to sit and keep on learning there. We might have gone for 2 slots of 1.5 hours. So now from tomorrow, I'm going to have another group of teachers having this workshop. And we are going to have 2 slots now, 90 minutes slot, and then after 3 hours break, we are going to have another slot for that. Some of the feedback, written feedback that we have received by participants. After this, we are going to see some of the oral feedback from the participants who are also with us today. Very interesting things we came to know from their feedback. One was like focusing on slow learners with the help of technology is possible. Because in our group, there were a few slow learners. In each and every teacher's classroom, the students will be of mixed ability. There will be slow learner also. So how to focus on slow learners, how teachers should have patience, and still it is possible. Many times in a real classroom environment, focusing on slow learner is not possible. Whereas here, it is possible. Second one was an insight of the probable difficulties that could be encountered during the process of teaching and learning. That also was experienced by the learner, that these are the probable difficulties. So this also was good outcome that this workshop taught them as a kind of an experience rather than reading and learning from somewhere, that how possible difficulties will be encountered during the process. This was very interesting observation, since this was a large group, like 25 still is a large group. Each person had different queries, and resource person was one who was dealing with all the different queries. Resource person should be well-versed with all the aspects of whatever platform they are working on. And that is why it is necessary that we are on single platform rather than multiple platforms. So sometimes it took a really long time to move from one step to another. 3 hours at a time was a little stretched for everyone, including the resource person. It could be made into 1 hour sessions lasting for 6 days instead of 6 hours in 2 days. The next response was, I hope educational institutions understands the need of laptop for all teachers in present world and considers sponsoring them like how they do it in IT companies. So they wanted a support from institute for laptops also. The 2 day EFDP has given me, that was one of the responders, that confidence to teach and conduct classes through digital device. Now this is very important. Teachers should be inspired, teachers should be motivated for digital platform. They get confidence, that is very important. And that this, I it was not my objective that learners will feel confident after doing this. So this was something, a very good takeaway from this one. Learn to use technology in the class of mixed abilities. So that this happened because of peer learning. There are some slow learners and fast learners. So that also was a very good outcome that we have received from that. Apart from this, also there were very interesting observations, but some of the highlights of this learning as a part of experience, I'm sharing here, these all things. Now, this is the time that I would request some of the participants to share their experiences. So I will, this is the series, the list in which they will keep on coming. Dr. Sangamitra, Dr. Vanita, Dr. Annie, Chandri, Vaisakhi, Jennifer. I will stop sharing my screen now, and I would request them to unmute their mic, and one by one, you can come and take a few minutes to share your experience with everybody there. So let me invite first Dr. Sangamitra, or anybody who is ready. You have to unmute your mic. You can also show your video when you come here, and you can speak with us. Yeah, Vanita is there. Yeah, yes.
I'm Vanita. Yeah. So this workshop is really interesting because this is the first time we were experimenting online learning platform. So boiling down to just Google, you know, Google Classroom was easier because we had heard of Moodle, we had heard of other things, but this seemed more it was very concise and precise. He brought it down to Google Classroom. So that way, Professor Bharat was very helpful because there was no confusion as to what the objective was. The objective was to train us in Google Classroom. So that objective was very clear. And by the end of 2 days, that objective was completely achieved. And like he said, it was the confidence that the whole thing gave us. There are several, we have videos, YouTube videos, which says how to work with Google Classroom, how to start off with the Google Classroom. There are very, very exhaustive videos on the YouTube to train us in Google Classroom. But none of this could have been as effective as how Professor Bharat trained us. Step by step, he told us. See, for example, there was one thing that I wanted to share. This was, I had two logins on my laptop, so I wasn't able to create. I kept telling him, I'm clicking on create, but it's not coming. So he said, check whether you have two logins. There's somebody else logged into your system. So there was another login that my son had. So I had to log out and log into my account. So very, very simple things. And he had a total understanding of the entire platform. So wherever we were stuck, he could guide us. He could tell us that this is where you're stuck. Do this and you will get to where we are. So every single person to be told, all of us had different questions, but he answered them. And he was able to tell us that this is how we go about things. And this confidence that gave us. Today, we can work on a Google Classroom very easily. We're confident, we're clear with what we want to do. I think that confidence was what this workshop gave us. And having this two technology thing, because like he said, the screen sharing or working with just one device would have been very difficult. This is all instructions on Google Meet on the phone and carrying it out simultaneously on the laptop. So that was really very helpful for all of us. And there were certain things, like he said, this plagiarism check, versions of Google Classroom. Our versions were old, so we didn't have certain aspects like the plagiarism check. So that could be incorporated in the future. But then we understood the basics, especially the devising the quizzes. It took a really long time, but when we finally accomplished, we knew we were there. We knew we had done what the workshop intended to do. And this was not just one learner that Sir had to manage. There were 25 of us. Each of us were stuck at different points in time with different things. We had different queries. Some of them just said, I can't upload from my Google Drive. So he had to just say, your Google Drive is bursting. You'll have to go pull out all the information, make sure that your Google Drive is clean, upload information again. So all this was done in a very, very effective manner. and with lots of patients, especially when we're not tech savvy, we've never worked on an e-learning platform before, and we were almost like students who were fumbling around. So he had the patience to get, you know, tell us that this is how you do. Very, very simple things that we didn't actually know. So this was, instructions are very clear. He said, look at the flower button for settings. Look at the plus button here on the right side of the screen, on the left side of your screen, on the center of your screen. Very, very explicit instructions, so that, you know, we never had this feeling that we were fumbling. We actually came from fumbling to a sort of streamlined activity the second day, because he understood us really effectively in terms of how we understood technology. So today, if we have the confidence to start Google Classroom and go about it with zest and energy, and that fear of working on an online platform, that was taken away completely by him. He gave us the confidence that anybody could do it and you can do it. So that way, that learning was really good. And thanks to you, sir, this is an amazing experience. And the head of the department who coordinated, we made that request to her from at college, that we wanted a very hands-on workshop, and we didn't want to just have a theoretical construct on how to do e-learning, because that is what most courses offer you. They tell you this is how, the advantages, the disadvantages, but we never really get to do actually practically. This was a very, very hands-on workshop, almost like sir was next to us standing telling us, okay, look at this or look at that. Thank you so much, and this is what I wanted to share with everyone.
Yeah, thanks. That was very interesting, Dr. Vanita. Very well expressed also. Thanks a lot. Thanks. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Who is the next? Yeah. Please unmute your mic and video also. We can see you also. Yes. Please introduce yourself and then say.
Hello, sir. This is Dr. It was a really wonderful experience, sir. We learned many new, having lot of patience, sir. Hats off to your patience, because many a times we were stuck, but you helped us a lot, sir. And you taught us in a very minute way, and it was we enjoyed the experience also a lot, because you told us that there in the left hand side there is a flower button type, tap that one. In the right hand side there is equal to sign, tap that one. So we enjoyed, actually we didn't even feel that 3 hours has gone, and we are learning these things from you. And other thing is that I have tried also with my students this Google Classroom, and I succeeded. So it's like an achievement for me, and you have transformed me from a technologically handicapped person to little bit tech savvy. So thank you so much, sir. Thank you. It's a wonderful experience, and we want to learn many more things from you, sir. Kindly guide us, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Thanks. It is good that you started the class and you are getting a success with your students also. So that is, it is good to listen that things are coming out and it is working in a real life environment. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, okay. Dr. Annie, I think, is ready.
Yeah. Dr. Annie?
Yeah.
Vanita has more or less, she has comprehensively told everything. There are a few things I would like to highlight, which I benefited from the class sessions. One was the having both technology, that is a Google Meet and the laptop. Actually, you can classify me as a slow learner, and I am not that adept in technology, and I was a little apprehensive about, you know, how well I would come out of these sessions. But having those two, having the Google Meet and the laptop, and being able to do hands-on, simultaneously getting instructions from you and doing it on the laptop, I was able to do without a hitch, you know, except for a few areas, like when I had to feed the mail ID for the Google team groups. there, you know, the computer was not taking the mail ID which I fed in, and I had to, except for a few places there, you know, where the computer did not take my data in. Otherwise, your instructions were very, very, you know, very clear, and I could go step by step, and I could move from one step to the other so easily. So this was one thing that I would like to, you know, really appreciate, having the Google Meet as well as a laptop, where we could simultaneously practice and, you know, get immediate hands-on experience as you kept explaining how to move from one step to the other, the classroom, the assignments, the quiz and everything. So that is one aspect I would like to highlight. And the next thing is your patience was really amazing, Dr. Bharat. We had a lot of people in between who had a lot of problems and they had to stop. And sir, you really stopped, you took them forward and you made it a point to explain and take them to the next step. It's really amazing. Your patience was really something which I really think I should start learning to implement for my students. The next thing is, it really gave me the confidence. As I said earlier, you were handling a mixed crowd with people with, you know, different knowledge in this digital field space. So being in the, you know, probably in this slow learner space. So by the end of the two sessions, I was really, you know, I came out really confident, you know, that I was able to do. I was able to, you know, give you the whatever response you asked. Simultaneously, I could, you know, go to the two or three classrooms which we created and, you know, interact with the two, three classrooms. I really was amazed, you know, I too could, you know, handle technology quite fast. Usually we think, you know, the youngsters, they do it at a lightning speed. Unlike me, I do not come under the youngsters crowd. But at the end of it, I really gained quite a lot of confidence. Thanks to you, sir. You really took it forward very well. And you helped us quite a lot in every step. So the two sessions were amazing. We learned quite a lot, and we, though we did have, difficulties here and there, but overall, it was a real learning experience. Thank you, sir. I should really thank you for your patience and a great learning experience that you gave us.
Great. Thanks, Annie. Yeah, but that is really good that we start learning, experiencing multiple classrooms, because our students are going to have multiple classrooms. So how are they going to handle multiple classrooms? That learning experience teachers should have, and whatever problem they face in learning on multiple classrooms is very necessary. And that's a very good point that you have also shared here on working with different classrooms at a time. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah, who else is ready? Yeah, Dr. Chandri. Yeah.
Good evening, sir. Sir, yeah, I think you started off, and that word which you use, technophobic, which is so true, because out of 25 participants, 24 of us were technophobic people who actually did not know. And forget handling one, you made us so confident that we could use two digital devices at the same time. We had the laptop and the cell phone and carried on. And like you said, that yes, patience, and we were all these isolated learners, sometimes calling out to either our husbands or children to help us with something. Not an iota of irritation in you continuously. You know, there were so many of us, we thought it would start, it would be a 2-hour session, but it went on beyond 3 hours, and sometimes we did not bother about the time, the way you made it interesting. And I have to share this with you, at the end of the first day, we stopped at a place where you actually taught us in the Google Classroom to upload materials, and you said keep the material ready for your class and tomorrow we will have it, you know, we will check who's done what. Believe me, sir, all of us after that, we learned till that place, and then we did not even know how to upload the material in the Google Classroom. So we were quite worried that how to go about that. We started asking. And then I remember again, all of us asked you, and then you told us that you have to go to Google Drive, and how my colleagues explained that you actually told us there is a flower on the screen, there are a few boxes that you can see, you know, go and click on those dots, which is amazing. So, and like, yes, we have become tech savvy in this faceless environment. Now, I think in the next class we need from you is, sir, how to be a patient teacher. Because that infinite patience we see in you is amazing. And definitely thanks to the head of the department who actually, you know, helped us to learn and just selected the apt person for us. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Many times we are seeing that several things are so easy, like uploading things on Google Drive or using cloud storage. And many times we think that take it as granted that this is so simple, everybody must be knowing it. But when we work in this hands-on environment, we really find that yes, teachers still need a kind of a guidance in uploading a material in Google Drive kind of cloud storage. When we listen to the word cloud storage, it is such a heavy word, like people think you have to be a software engineer to understand what is cloud storage and a kind of thing. But in many workshops, I have seen that teachers are not that techno-savvy, or they don't know that lots of things directly from an Android mobile phone or a laptop can be preserved, can be saved in Google Drive. And then you can share with so many people, with learners, students, colleagues. And it is so amazing platform there. So thank you, Dr. Chandri, for drawing attention to that part also. Who else is there? Do we have anybody? Yeah, Sangamitra. Yeah, Sangamitra, you can also put on your camera. You are raising your hand, Sangamitra. Yeah, are you able to listen, Sangamitra? I think there is some problem on the side of Sangamitra. I have seen you have raised your hand. Your video also is on now. Your mic is also on, but we are not able to see you. I think there is some audio problem on your side. Speak something.
I'm afraid we do not hear you, Sangamitra. Perhaps if you could click on the microphone, the arrow next to the microphone, and select another microphone, that might work. Very lovely to see you. Ah, she's using the headset. Great. And all you have to do now is still select the microphone under the settings. Do you see the microphone on the bottom left-hand side? There's a tiny little arrow next to it.
Yeah, and when you get to the arrow, you go to the bottom of the list and choose audio settings, and then you can test your microphone and configure it. Sometimes you have to choose another microphone.
On the left hand side bottom, there is a microphone. There is a pop up window, test speakers and microphone. If you can do that, then it may work.
We have to learn this from you, Dilip. On the left side, there is a bottom microphone. I'm just kidding. But it's so wonderful to hear that so many are appreciative of your patience. Okay. And this is what you're showing. Absolutely. You're demonstrating to us. But maybe the Indian accent is working.
Yeah.
You know, okay. we Germans, we have this we have phase of making it work kind of accent. Do you want to try it again, Sangamitra? We're listening.
Sangamitra, you can try one more thing. You can remove this headphone and try to speak. Is it a laptop? Are you on laptop or a PC? No, I think she has got...
Now that it's probably when she plugs this in headphones that happens.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else is there? Anybody? We're also running out of time. So anybody else from that group present here?
Should we take questions?
We have one Dr. Giovanni here, Professor Giovanni.
Okay, go ahead.
So he also is conducting the kind of workshops remotely. So I invite Professor Giovanni, Mahesh Giovanni, to share a few experiences and then let us have some questions. Yeah. Yeah.
Good evening to everybody.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
I'm audible.
Can you put on your camera?
Okay. Fine, I'll do that.
Happy to see your face also. Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah, he's a Professor Giovanni, Professor of Electronics with Saurashtra University here in Gujarat, India. Yeah, Professor Giovanni, sir. Yeah, please.
Yeah. I'm switching. I'm moving to a good place where I can. Okay, you can see now. Okay, these are the techniques we have to learn. We have to do all the jugglery. And also we have to teach to participants how to keep on my so the first, because of this COVID-19, there are two things I experienced. Everybody started learning digital techniques and all these things, so that is a good aspect. Second, it's called the worst part, and I am defining it just like a webidemic. It's another epidemic of webinars. So from morning to evening, all people are busy in webinars. So now it's just like a TV and channels. People are going attending webinars. As according to this topic of discussion, we completed, not myself, but I'm a part of one training institute who are in the field of teaching, giving training to teachers. Basically, it's called the HRDC, Human Resource Development Centers. And we just completed six batches of teachers and provided hands-on training. And my experience is, while you do training online on streaming media, there are you have to puzzle a lot. Being a technical person, I have few facility at my home also. So basically I did hands-on using six devices, mixer and all these things, recording, capturing software from moving from one screen to another screen. So these are, I can able to do being a technical person. Otherwise it's very difficult. I created studio at my home, Bharat sir knows very well, and I'm keeping virtual screen. I'm using Chroma, and through Juga, I created all these things during the lockdown period, and try to stream in a professional way. So, and use almost all kind of streaming technology which are used right away in this present era, and tried a lot to give as best as to participants. And with Zoom sessions, means any kind of a platform, Zoom, WebEx, Cisco, we also created a Google Classroom. And a third platform we use is a YouTube live streaming. So a Google Classroom is a good platform, we find. It's a small kind of LMS things, where in comparison with the Moodle, where if you have a track, if you want to keep a track on participants, obviously you have to go for a Moodle. But if you don't want to keep a track of participants, this Google Classroom is the best choice, I am personally feeling, because it's so easy to set and it's so easy to evaluate and provide assessment and all the materials. So it's a good, fantastic facility. Google Meet is also a good platform, but only the problem is, as Bharat sir says, I'm muting each and every participants. Until and unless every participants will not learn how to behave on online platform, till that problem remains the same. But we, I am taking in a positive way. At least people started using these all these things. So in the next phase, probably they learn more and do in a better way. Okay, thank you very much for providing me a time to share my views. Thank you very much, all of you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Dr. Giovanni, sir. Yeah. Yeah, over to Vance. Huh? Over to you.
Could I just mention this, what I also wrote in text chat? I have tried to live stream from the Zoom room, and it has worked very well. The process is rather easy. You can, if you have, for example, you have a Google account, and on this Google account, you have a YouTube channel attached to this Google account. It could also be a private YouTube channel. Then it's as easy as putting in, you have to enable that in the Zoom settings, first of all. And then it's as easy as in the Zoom main panel at the bottom, you will find a live stream to YouTube or live stream to Facebook. The options, what you've selected, you can add your account name, yeah? And then you can also add, if you like, if you are actually using a YouTube channel that is not really your own account, but it's a public account from an institute, then in the YouTube channel, you will still have to retrieve what's known as the streaming key. So you can, in Zoom, you can add either a Google account name plus the password or a streaming key, which then allows you just inside the meeting as you're about to start it, hit recording, but also to hit start live streaming. And the beautiful thing about the live streaming of these Zoom sessions is the Zoom bombers stay outside. Now, I mean, there's no disturbance from people. And we find that a lot of people can listen to the audio of a live stream much better than to the audio of a Zoom room. Besides, the Zoom room has a certain capacity. It's 250 people or 300, or it's, you know, and it fills up as you appear, Dilip. You're so popular. It fills up easily, and then you can enable the live stream just in the beginning of the meeting with a click of a button, and then it will live stream out to YouTube, and people can still hear your wonderful words and of encouragement and your training. And I highly recommend people, when they use Zoom, every Zoom account can do that, every basic account, yeah. The only thing you have to have rights on the YouTube channel to live stream, which if you have a new YouTube channel, you might not have the rights as of yet. But otherwise, Zoom is very, very good.
Yeah, to add to that, I would like to say that we use Google Meet, and Meet do not allow any kind of live streaming on any platform. So we used OBS platform.
Yeah, OBS is what I used a lot myself. I'm a total OBS fan. And I used to live stream presentations in a 3D environment, in Second Life, in OpenSim, and their OBS is absolutely fantastic. And I tried to teach somebody else how to use OBS to live stream a Zoom session. And I said, oh, that's very easy, you know, OBS, and it's, you can set it up automatically. It will understand the bitrate. It will understand what you try and scream. The scene setup is so easy. So I tried to teach her, and it took us 2 hours, 2.5 hours, eventually 3 hours. It was nearing midnight, and we were still not able. She was not able to set up OBS appropriately for Zoom. And then I told her, well, let me do it. You know, I'm part of your session. She had lots of applications for the session, and I will stream for you. And eventually she says, oh, I think I saw the other day Zoom can live stream. And so we tried this out, and within 2 minutes flat, she was able to live stream. And we burst out laughing that we spent 3 hours trying to set up OBS. We were like on the floor laughing our heads off. It was near midnight. We'd been working away. And then this 20 seconds or 30 seconds of the live stream has been recorded. And this is a very short video of two women laughing uncontrollably. We kept that recording because it was so hilarious. But no, this obviously is fantastic. But Zoom can even do better. So, and Zoom is free.
In the initial, before we begin, Vance was talking about that we had a webinar for 2 days. And we had like more than 1,300 registrations, and our platform was Meet, and only 250 can come in that. So we opted for both the live stream on Facebook as well as on YouTube. And you said very right that the quality of live stream is very good.
It's excellent. And
better than the live also. Yeah, we experienced that on both, because maybe those platforms are enhancing the audio quality and the video quality. And maybe because
and
how, of that.
How many did you have on the live stream in the end of the day?
Total, we got 18,000 views on both the platforms. 18,000.
My word.
So it was very, very good success. Like 18,000 people got this, all things.
That is awesome. Absolutely brilliant. Do you think we can get Sumatra, I know, what's her name, Sumatra, to see whether she's able to talk, Sangamitra. She's able to talk now, maybe?
Sangamitra, are you there? She posted something in the chat, like I think maybe she's not able to have. Sangamitra, are you there? And are you able to speak?
Maybe she can try now. I recommended her to re-log briefly, but maybe she hasn't done it. Oh, she's given up. Never mind.
Thank you. Yes, Vance. We are just 8:28 now. 2 minutes are there for our session then.
Well, I had one question, and Heike had the same question, something similar. And you said that it was very difficult to teach as if in a vacuum. You suggested there was no feedback coming back to you. But, and then I believe you had a technical person on the ground there. So the participants were working with that technical person. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And so, but you're getting no feedback at all? Is the technical person communicating with you or?
Yeah.
Text chat, nothing?
No, the person was trying to speak orally on that side. Uh-huh. But they do not have a particular vocabulary or words or language to express the problem.
Okay.
So we keep on guessing whether you have this problem or that problem. Mm. We ask what is on your screen, and many times people do not see exactly what be seen on the screen. They see only things, and sometimes you have to click somewhere in a corner on a smaller spaces, and we say look at this, but they are not able to find that. Mm-hmm. So they are orally communicating, but what problem we face is that we do not have a particular vocabulary to speak about the problem. Mm-hmm. And that creates a problem. So we have to guess that if you are trying to say this, maybe this must be the problem.
Mm. Yes. Okay. And we do maybe screenshots that you can put online, like with Jing.
Yeah.
If you use Jing, you can make a screenshot and then just put the URL and the other person can see what you're trying to do.
You are trying to do, that can be a good option,
Or were they able to share their screen so that you could see what they're trying to do?
Sharing the screen also is a good one. That is the first lesson we should do when we do online workshop. The very first thing we have to teach everybody is that how to share your screen. That is the first one.
Yes.
You start with that.
Well, yeah, no, you've got to start somewhere, and it seems that you've done an excellent job, and your participants certainly did benefit from your sessions.
Yeah.
And it's a good lesson for us to see how you managed so many people. So, yes, very interesting. I don't know if anybody else has any other questions.
Yeah, if anybody is there with any questions, we can help. Yeah.
We had questions in the text chat, and I always, when I vlog the session or podcast it, I'll include an audio and a video on YouTube. Mm. So I'm recording it now, and then I'll take the video and I'll put it on YouTube. Someone asked this in the text chat. It gets it will be podcast at learningtogether.net. So you'll find it, if not tomorrow, the day after, but usually it's within a day now. Yeah, so this is for the benefit of everybody listening. And also the text chat will be placed in that podcast. So
That will be good, yeah.
Yes, you can read it there. Mm-hmm. And I presume it's okay with everybody if I do that.
Yeah. No, I will look at a video also. Just ping me when you upload the video,
Of course, yes.
I have seen Nick's video. I have seen. He also had.
Yeah, the same way, the same system.
Yeah,
so,
same way. Yeah, that is good.
So I try to put those up within a day or two. Now that I'm not working, this is my job now. I don't get paid for it, but you know, still I get paid in karma. The same way you get paid.
This is a very good service that you are doing for so many people around the world. They may not be saying thank you to you, but they are learning a lot from you and the things that this Webheads is doing. Yeah.
If they didn't say thank you, I would not do it. So there you are. I'm getting thanked just like you are. So, and it was really nice to meet you in Valor as well. And, you know, so we obviously made an impression on one another. Okay. Does anybody else have any comments?
Graham also was there. Graham Stanley also was there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any comments, Graham?
Yeah.
Always good to hear from
you,
Graham.
There, Graham? He also was in India. We were together in one workshop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Came to Gujarat also. He came to,
Okay. I think Graham might be giving one of the sessions in the Tallinn. This is a talent
series.
He says,
I can't unmute. I enjoyed the conference, he says. Ah. He has put a message.
Can't unmute. Is that because you don't have... Can we unmute you? Is that a problem? Is it us or is it...
Now I can speak. So I couldn't unmute before. So thank you, Dilip. I really enjoyed today. It's so good to learn from what everyone is doing. You know, yourselves in India, and other people around the world, and really to sort of look at different contexts and share that knowledge and information. And yes, I remember that conference that we were both at very well. It was a fabulous experience. My first time to your wonderful country. I hope it's not the last. I hope we can travel again in the future soon. And thank you, Vance, for organizing all of this, and for the Webheads experience, which I've recently re-engaged with. And yes, I'll definitely think of something that that I can offer to the community.
Take your time. It looks like we'll be in isolation for some time. So when you're ready.
It's months, I'm sure, not years.
I know you're very busy. So the good thing is you can't travel, so you might as well give presentations and news like this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Definitely. Well, anyway, good to talk to you. Good to see Heike as well. And Dilip, of course. So are there any other comments? Anybody else would like to say anything? Or do you need to go, Dilip? Are you...
Can I put in a word, please?
Sure. Dr. Kalyani. Yeah, please.
Many of my students, about their online video sessions, they are skeptical. They do not want it. They keep telling me, no, we would rather want live classes. And we have to do online sessions anyway. And I think what is most challenging about it is the follow-up. To keep them motivated, it's a comment. I'm just sharing it so that I can know your views on it. It is very important to keep them motivated by giving them assignments and following up with activities and question answer sessions and getting them to report what they've studied, which you're doing, Dilip sir. And I find it very challenging and exhausting. I really don't know how far I can go on like this, because it's many times more challenging than a live class, I suppose, to do it quite well. Do you have any tips? And I'm already, it is just 1 month into it and I'm already exhausted. I hope you get what I mean.
I'm trying to. Yeah, you have your classes on Udemy, yeah? And you are doing lots of classes and this.
Yeah. Hmm. Suddenly, my classroom sessions got disrupted, and I had to take to Zoom or some other platform. I don't do it very regularly, but people just they like the Udemy videos and online sessions, but they are very irregular. I just don't think it is really working at all, because people I see one in one class, I don't see the next day, and I don't have your patience also.
That's a very interesting point also, like teachers online requires lots of patience, and it grows, but it takes time also, like because you are able to reach to so many students, maybe because they are not giving feedback directly, so we get frustrated. But that's what the point, that people don't say thank you, they don't say like, but they silently, they keep on observing and doing the things.
I don't really understand whether they are following me or whether they are doing any work, because it's very haphazard. It is not regular. Their feedback, their assignments.
Assignments, yeah. It is completely unstructured.
In the classroom, I can just ask them questions, and it's very direct and personal and effective. I'm facing this problem. I don't know if other people are facing it too.
Dr. Prakash. Yeah.
I you know, Kalyani was speaking, and I thought I must chip in, not exactly in support of her, but sharing my own experience here. Because my students are scattered almost all over India. We are a central university. So when the students were told to go home because of this COVID-19 thing, they went back to their places. And their networks are not actually, wherever they are in those remote places, they don't work. So it really becomes a problem. Sometimes there's not a kind of response that your hard work needs, requires, and you don't get that. But is there any way by which this this network issue can be some kind of platforms that use less data I think you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Less of data connectivity, less amount of data. If that's, are there any platforms that use less amount of data?
Dr. Hello? Prakash, that's a very interesting point for example, India, rural areas, where there is still 2G connections, which is there, but 3G or 4G is still a problem. So now, recently, I read that WebEx is, Cisco's WebEx platform is going to run on a slower network also. So they have started working on that. If this is going to spread and this is going to be for a couple of months because of Corona and other things, then you will have to reach out to those areas where there is low network connectivity. So they have started coming down on a lower bandwidth. So Cisco's WebEx perhaps has started working on that, that on lower bandwidth, you can also have your online classes and that. So some software engineers are working on that part also. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Heikki also had something.
That is an excellent point, because a lot of people the world over have internet packages that are data packages. So they get 2 GB or maybe just 1 GB per month. So video conferencing is using up a lot of space. What I would be interested, if anybody can measure this, let us know whether the live stream on YouTube costs less of a data package. Whether a Zoom meeting costs more. I mean, we found, for example, the free conferencing system, Big Blue Button, cost on average 500 megabytes per 1 hour of meeting. And Zoom costs on average 100 megabytes per 1 hour Zoom meeting. So I would be interested, if anybody can measure this, to find out how much a live stream hour costs on YouTube, maybe a live stream hour on Facebook, because they all have different bit rates. So it could be that one or the other is more economical, and that would be great to share. And Teams, yeah, good point about Teams. How much does Teams use? I would like to come up with a list that would give out recommendations for people. If they have data packages, they have to be careful of using, because one video conference and it's all gone, and the next time they need it for emails, you know, or downloads. And so it's a real problem.
Interesting perspective.
Teams is very heavy, perhaps, yeah. I don't know whether it was for when I used Teams, I found it very heavy, very loaded, and it requires a much larger bandwidth to work with.
Yeah, I think you're right, Dilip. It's one of the things I would love to know, what you just said, Heike, just a comparison of different platforms like that. So how did you get the information that you've just shared with us? Where was that published?
I asked one of the students. She was in Nepal and she had a limited data package. And we tried a certain web conferencing system, and I asked her to check the amount of data used. And she came back with that response that Zoom was a lot better for her. The 100 megabytes roughly for 1 hour. And we tend to have 1.5 hours of sessions at the university. So it would need somebody to have a data package to actually let us know when looking at the clock, as it were.
It's difficult because there's very reasons why I'm interested in this. I won't go into all of them, but basically having that kind of information to compare that technical specs is really, I can't find anything public on the internet. I can find reviews of Zoom versus Teams, or, you know, various, that are just opinions really, but without actually looking at any technical specs, which is what I'm interested in. So if anyone manages to find any of that, I'd be very interested in what you've just proposed. You're muted, Heike.
Did you want to say something, Heike?
Yes, I was looking for the slide. I have some interesting data which I found from the Zoom website, because people were asking how much of a bandwidth do they really need for Zoom meetings. And this is it's in German. Apologies, I'll correct that soon. But basically it says that a Zoom meeting, you need 600 kbps, I'm looking at this figure, for down and up. That is approximately, let me just highlight that a little bit, yeah. That is approximately that wasn't very good. Never mind. Anyway, this is here. 0.6 megabyte download, and the other way around, 1.2 megabyte upload is the one I'm interested in. And you can compare this with the 3G versus 4G data that is sort of the average. A 3G has between 0.1 and 8 megabytes per second. And here the Zoom meeting, it needs 1.2 megabytes and 0.6. So definitely you can attend a Zoom meeting with 3G. But what I don't have is the amount of data it actually uses per meeting. And what I found very, very interesting is this data, because the screen sharing alone, if you want to, because I was always wondering, if people screen share, does that cost a lot more bandwidth? And the figures are amazing. Have a look at this. This is just like 50 to 100 kilobytes per second additionally just for that screen sharing, which is 0.05 megabytes. That is almost like nothing. That I found stunning. So the videos itself are the ones that cost a lot more bandwidth, but the screen sharing doesn't. That is so amazing. That's data from Zoom's website. That I really, really enjoyed hearing and reading about.
Okay. It was very, very interesting data. Yeah, that was very useful also. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can find a link, you could put it in the text chat, or if not, you could just pass it to me.
I would have to do that one because it's in German. I did just a course. What I do is I'll put this in English for everyone. And also perhaps if we could collect the amount of megabytes, the usage per 1 hour video conferencing in comparison, if any one of you could check out your data packages and let us know. Send the information to Vance. He's the one to collect it.
I was going to say send it to Heike, but anyway, it doesn't matter. just kidding. I could send it to Graham. Why don't we send it to Graham?
You're the hub. You're the hub.
No, anyway, we're quite happy to get your information. I don't want to keep Dilip, as he's been so generous with his time, and it is getting late here. But let's see. This has been Learning Together, episode 464. That's starting since 2009. And we just started doing Talin, and this is as teaching and learning in isolation. This is the 19th webinar that has taken place in that series. This is the 20th of May, 2020. And we've been talking with Dilip Barad, who is in India and has been giving us a very interesting explanation of his online classes and his philosophy behind them, and giving us practical reflections from his participants. And we appreciate everyone who came and participated and contributed. So any last words, Dilip, before we say goodbye?
Yeah, it would be wonderful if everybody could switch on their webcams just now and give Dilip an applause. Yeah, <that's laughs> you can open your mic now. You can make a noise.
You can also see everybody who are present here also. So all put their camera on.
Make a big noise and a big round of applause, everyone.
Ah, so Heike is the Zoom bomber. Ah.
Yes, I am.
Okay, anyway, that's great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for this opportunity. It was wonderful sharing ideas with everybody. Thanks
a
lot.
Our pleasure. So good to get your perspectives. Okay, yeah. I'll turn off the recording now, and nice to see everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I always go to the top of the screen to turn off the recording. It never works. Where is it? Here it is. Okay, bye-bye.